All right, everybody, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, the Monday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Daw, Dylan Lark hanging out here with you following a very rainy and very mundane, I would say, A-Day on the Plains in Hugh Freeze's first season with the Tigers. The Tigers did put up 24 points in the scrimmage, which I think honestly may be more than combined what Auburn ever did underneath Brian Harsin in the two seasons that he was here. I want to start this off very quickly, Dylan, by saying, just an overarching thought about what we saw on the field on Saturday. Sure, it might have been pouring down rain. Sure, it may not have been the most exciting performance from individuals, particularly at the quarterback position, but it was a lot better, in my opinion, than what we saw for those two seasons under Harsin. Definitely more entertaining than that.
I made a joke to Mr. Harrison Tarr about the game, and I said, this is probably the highest scoring A-Day we've seen in a hot minute, you know, 48 combined points between the two. But overall, it was pretty mundane, pretty basic. We didn't see a lot, but we knew that going into the game that we weren't going to see what they were good at. And I think that shows in who got the ball and who didn't. And you bring up the quarterbacks. I think we're going to talk in length about the quarterbacks in a second. But I think that with it raining, I think it really shows that Hugh Freeze is going to try. And he didn't want to cancel it. I don't think anyone wanted to cancel it. And I think that kind of shows to his effort to try to get the entire fan base behind him and be like, hey, rain or not, we're going to show y'all what Auburn can do. He kind of showed us what Auburn can do kind of and what they really can't do right now.
A lot of potential, I still think, with this team. You're exactly right, saying what they can maybe do in the fall. But we've got a lot of different things to get to here on today's episode. Tomorrow, we'll be breaking it down with Matthew Jacobs as well. So make sure stay tuned for that. Before we dive into all these different takeaways that Dylan and I have from this spring game here, again, want to reiterate that there was a tie. It was 24-all at the end of it. Defense obviously started with 24 points, so it kind of makes sense there. Alex McPherson hitting the game-tying field goal at the very end, if you will, for the offense. But before we get into that, though, just want to remind you guys, if you're listening on podcast, go ahead and follow us wherever you are listening. Give us a 5-star review. Would appreciate that. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, really appreciate you guys over on the YouTube. Please make sure you subscribe to the channel and like the video. That would be very helpful as well. So A-Day takeaways. Dylan, you mentioned it. Let's go ahead and get into it here at the top of the show. The quarterback play in this one, I'm going to be completely honest with you, Dylan. I was not expecting a lot from this, especially considering the weather conditions. Even then, I think that Auburn's quarterbacks were underwhelming in some of the throws that they had opportunities to make. I think overall, it was not a good performance, just straight up. None of the quarterbacks really impressed me outside of maybe Holden Gariner. The Tigers were not trying to throw the ball a lot on A-Day, and whenever they did have the opportunity to, there just wasn't great execution.
Yeah, I mean, when I watched the quarterbacks, I saw some things they did improve on. I saw Robbie Ashford sit in the pocket and kind of trust his offensive line on his few throws. And, of course, he made that beautiful 39-yard pass to, I believe it was to Tavarish Dawson. And it was a beautiful throw. And Robbie has shown games from last year where he can make those throws. And Holden Gariner, I saw a lot of progression in the pocket. He showed that if one guy fell on the ground and he scanned the other side of the field, and whether or not he got pressured is neither here nor there. But the quarterbacks definitely were a little underwhelming, but that just comes from the fact we didn't get to see him a lot. And it definitely shows Hugh Freeze trusts more to throw the ball. And we saw that with Robbie threw three passes, TJ threw four, and Holden threw five. And Holden made those check down throws when he needed to. And it seemed like Robbie was just trying to get the ball down the field more to kind of show that he can make those throws. And he can, just not as consistent as probably Hugh Freeze wants to. And we got that from the press conference where he's going to go for the quarterback transfer. And when you watch the A-Day, again, if you watch the film, if you're crazy enough to watch it again, yeah, you can't blame him. I don't think the starting quarterback is on roster right now. And right now, if I got to say anything, I would say I think you got to go with Robbie. I think Robbie has more potential as a dual threat quarterback in this RPO type system. And I mean, you got to bring up Robbie's ability to run the ball, and it showed. And I think the refs did a good job of letting him kind of run it out, because last year under the Harsin era, they didn't let the quarterbacks go past the line of scrimmage. And I think that really affected the stats and the offensive progression watching that last year's A Day. But quarterback wise, Robbie and Holden showed that they've improved a little bit over the spring, but not enough to where I can confidently say that they will be the starting quarterbacks in the fall.
Very well said. And quarterbacks and the transfer portal is going to be the prime topic of discussion on tomorrow's episode. Probably a prime topic of discussion for us here for the next few weeks as the portal opens back up on April 15th, just 5 days from now. Just kind of talking about how Auburn approached this game. Like you said, we didn't really get to see them throw the ball around a lot. And it looks like Hugh Freeze wants, and has said this, more consistency out of all of his signal callers on roster. And just flat out, he hasn't gotten it up until this point. The scrimmage that you and I saw last week, last Monday or Tuesday, it might have been the best throwing session I had seen in that media viewing window of them maybe ever. Just flat out, I think it might have been their best ever. And, you know, for it to be not even in what I think could be considered a game-like environment, considering the lack of crowd noise and obviously the weather, it was just not anything impressive. Like you said, TJ Finley overthrew a couple of guys. Robbie Ashford had that one completion to Forrest Dawson out of the three passes that he threw. I think Holden Gariner made, like you said, the right decisions, but it wasn't flashy. And when you're looking at making a decision for, okay, who fits this scheme the best, a lot of people, I think, would agree Hugh Freeze would probably be better off with a guy like Ashford under center, or, you know, taking shots or snaps from the shotgun, or whatever spread offense formation he's going to want to run. The Tigers need that dual threat ability, because if you can't figure out how to get one of these guys to throw the ball with at least just a hair of consistency, you're going to have to rely on something else. You're going to have to rely on the quarterback's legs. You're going to have to rely on other parts of the offense to get going, which kind of brings us actually to our, I didn't even mean to segue that, to our running back rotation in this game. I mean, that was the good part of the offense. I mean, there's a reason that Auburn put up 24 points, was able to get a couple field goals out of Evan McGuire, get a couple touchdown drives going as well. It was the ground game. We got to see a lot of different backs carry the ball in this one. Sean Jackson led the way with 77 yards on 13 attempts at a long of 16. Jackson, obviously the previous walk-on for the Tigers. And then the second leading rusher in this game was a walk-on, Justin Jones, who had 53 yards and a touchdown. The touchdown actually that helped Auburn tie the game at the very, right before the very end of it. Damari Alston, 43 yards. Robbie Ashford, 38. Brian Batty, 35. And Jarquez Hunter, 27. TJ Finley also had 18 yards rushing as well. Point being, I mean, it was a very, very balanced approach to this game, Dylan. And I want to get your thoughts on this rotation overall, but I'll say this real quick. Sure, I think it could be asked, do you think Sean Jackson's going to be any sort of even slightly important part of Auburn's offense next year? Don't think so. Don't think so for Justin Jones either. It's an opportunity for these guys to get to show what they're capable of in a spring game and just kind of shine. I mean, we've seen Auburn running backs that have been walk-ons do this in the past. I think C.J. Tolbert, or Tolbert, however you pronounce his last name, he used to be a mainstay of some of these previous spring games. But Chandler Cox had like a 70-yard run in like 2016. So, I mean, it's guys that normally don't run the ball getting touches. But this is still Alston, Batty, Hunter, and then Jeremiah Cobb coming in the fall. This is a very deep running back room, and I think Auburn should be excited with what they have there.
Yeah, we talk about a lot. We had a whole episode about it for the College Loop. We talk about running backs, and the room goes five deep. And you look at it, Cobb's not even on it's not even on campus yet. And you see what Justin Jones can do, and Sean Jackson, and Cadillac has came out and said that Sean Jackson's probably the best pass blocker out of the entire running back room. So maybe we can see some Sean Jackson minutes on the field. I don't know if we'll get any, very many touches, but yeah, the running back room, it goes so deep. And we saw that with the fact that I think every single running back averaged over 5 yards a carry. If not, it was very close to that. My thing, we can talk about, I hope we can talk about it a little bit with the D-line. Sean Jackson got a lot of his rushing yards on the third team. And from one of the things I caught, after the first and second defensive line, the third team defense I don't want to say it leaves a lot to be desired because they're the third team for a reason, but it definitely left a lot to be desired when you talk about how loaded some specific positions are when you get down to that. But Sean Jackson, yeah, great game from him. I think he also was the best running back for last year's A-Day as well. I think he's the mainstay AD MVP. And we see that a lot. There's a lot of guys out there. You can make an all-Auburn A-Day team and you just see how that pans out. And I think you'd have mainstays like Marquise McClain at wide receiver one, Sean Jackson, running back one. Sam Sherrod would be your starting linebacker.
Yep.
But running backs, I mean, you can't really complain about them.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm very pleased with the way that Auburn rotated in this game. And we're going to talk, I think, a little bit later on about what we kind of think a little bit more about guys like Jarquez Hunter and Brian Batty, you know, two of the players that are kind of lower on this rushing total list here, but I don't necessarily think that's a problem. You mentioned the defensive line and how, you know, it was kind of taken advantage of statistically because of what was happening as the game progressed. Like you said, Sean Jackson kind of getting his moments against Auburn's third team D line, which, I mean, to be honest with you, is probably going to be given up, would give up rushing yards to just about anybody. If the point of the game in a rainy situation was to just run the football, I don't think that's crazy to say. Most SEC teams would probably get down and have some problems there against a rushing attack. But I think that, I don't know, you tell me, what did you think about the overall 280-yard rushing performance, 5.5 yards per carry on average for this Tiger rushing attack? We saw last year, Auburn was like 108th nationally in yards allowed per carry or yards allowed per attempt last season. This rush defense was just porous at times, and we were expecting, and we still are expecting, new defensive coordinator Ron Roberts to step in and kind of change things, kind of turn things around, bring them back to what they were under Kevin Steele, which was a hard-nosed front that stopped the run and got pressure on the quarterback and created some havoc. Didn't necessarily see that in this game. I don't really think it's a problem. Tell me what your thoughts are on it.
So when I look at the rushing performance, the running back got a lot of carries. And when you get a lot of carries, it's kind of hard not to get a lot of yards, especially in the rain. Because rain games are when the running back room tends to, like, go five deep and, you know, get a lot of carries. I think how many carries did Sean Jackson have?
He had 13.
Oh, I was thinking he had more. But that comes with the fact that it was a running clock as well. I think the rain really affected that. I think the fact that the third team defense came in for a large portion of the game and they kind of gave up a lot of big runs to Sean Jackson. Once he kind of went up in the second and first team defense, it kind of slowed down a little bit. But overall, I mean, first team defensive line, second team defensive line did a good job of shutting down the run for what they could. And they got pressure on the quarterback, which is really what Auburn struggled with the most last year from the defensive line, was getting pressure on the quarterback. Because after Jarrett Call and Colby Wooden were getting double teamed by the five-man front, the rest of the defensive line couldn't really get past the center. And that's just how last year's defense went. But I can't really complain too much about them getting pressure on the quarterback. Kind of helps that. And I think just giving up yards just happens in the rain, especially whenever I think most running backs were getting 10 plus carries that game, especially Justin Jones and Sean Jackson.
51 total carries for Auburn in this game. Like you said, with volume, I mean, it's going to wear anybody down. So I don't really think that there's a reason to put that much stock into you know, what the defensive performance looked like in this game. And to be completely honest with you, I mean, that's kind of what we were talking about heading into this. That's what Hugh Freeze talked about heading into this. It's just not expect a whole lot of not only flashy things to happen during this game, but for a lot of things that Auburn wants to do this fall to actually occur. I want to get to a few other points that you and I have, just takeaways that we have from this game. Before we do that, though, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. This year, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. And in case you're wondering, Prize Picks is a free app. It allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your years, and you can predict the over or under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. Prize Picks also has flex options where you can still get paid winning only on 3 of 5 or 2 of 3 picks, and you can have multiple sports as well in the same game parlay. Best of all, you can use promo code Auburn, AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. So if you deposit $100, you get an extra hundo on top of that. Again, that's promo code Auburn for double your first deposit. I think it's a pretty solid time to get in on the Prize Picks action because the NBA playoffs are about to happen. It's going to be a lot of fun to take a look at the different props and things, over unders and stuff like that, that Prize Picks will have for individual performance and performers and teams again. So go to Prize Picks, use Auburn Daily's promo code AUBURN. That is Auburn. All right, continuing along here, the Monday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Dahl, Dylan Lark hanging out here with you. The defensive line, talked about that, how it's maybe not the biggest deal, especially given the scenario, the circumstances under which they gave up 280 rushing yards on a day. What do you want to tackle next, Dylan? I'm sure that you had a lot of conversations, or excuse me, you had a lot of opinions on what happened with the offensive line in this game. It's part of the reason why Auburn was able to move the ball a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. You brought up what subject you want to tackle next. I want to tackle the people that didn't give up a lot of tackles. The offensive line, and especially the first team offensive line, showed a lot of improvement from last year, and it shows. And I believe the start, Connor Liu was one of the guys I was really surprised by, moving from center to left guard. And, of course, Gunnar Britton has been a guy that I have been praising about ever since he committed to the Tigers. Kind of affected my longstanding hype-up comment, talking about he's going to be the best left tackle since Greg Robinson. So now I need to figure out the best right tackle since when is when I need to decide now. And I'm sure it won't take me long to find a guy that Gunnar Britton's better than for the past decade. Because the offensive line looks good. It looks very good. And I think if the rain had held off for a little bit, we could have seen how good the pass blocking is. Yep. And, I mean, it's going to break down a little bit throughout the game, and it's going to happen whenever you're running the ball the entire time. Because speaking from someone who played offensive line in high school, run block sucks because that's just you having to push a bigger dude in front of you 5-plus yards down the field. It sucks. It's annoying, and pass blocking is superior. And sadly, we didn't get to see that. But, I mean, when we talked about it, I brought up my MVP for A-Day was Gunnar Britton, just because I think that the offensive line showed the most improvement out of any other position group throughout this offseason so far.
Even Hugh Freeze said he's I'm cautiously optimistic that we're going to have a decent offensive line. And look, I understand that some people may get hyped up at, you know, almost 300 rushing yards, you know, in a scrimmage environment against an Auburn defense that isn't, you know, terrible. But again, I think we need to kind of come back to the situation that this occurred in. I do think, let's be clear, I'm not saying Auburn's offensive line is going to be bad next year. I'm not saying it's not going to improve. I think it's going to be better. And I'm excited about guys like Gunnar Britton. Connor Liu was one of the most impressive things I've seen out of this spring period. Just in terms of his jump right into the college game, the praise that Hugh Freeze has given him, this offensive line is going to be decent, like Hugh Freeze said. But do we gain that information from this spring game? I think that we're seeing glimpses. I think we're seeing flashes. But I also want to say here as well, I don't expect Auburn to be running all over teams in 2023. I think it's going to be a little bit of a process. Auburn's got a couple of really tough opponents in the first month of the season. You go on the road to Cal. Justin Wilcox is a defensive-minded coach for the Bears. You go to Texas A&M. That's going to be a tough out regardless of how bad Jimbo Fisher's offense is playing. And with Bobby Petrino, who knows what that team could look like next season? Freeze and Auburn and their offense and their line have their work cut out for them. I'm excited to see what they did in the spring game, but I'm more eager to see what this team looks like and how they're talking about their offensive line in the fall. So progress is being made. I didn't expect anything else better out of this spring game. I'm not saying that they should have done any differently, but we need to, as a fan base, I think, temper our expectations because of the amount of times it's bitten us in the past. I just keep thinking so much about last year, and I'm just like, man, I'm scared. I'm genuinely scared of anything at this point because I think the offensive line is going to be better. Like, I do think that's going to be better. I just don't know how much better they're going to be. So Gunnar Britton, it's going to be solid. Connor Liu, I think it's going to be solid for years to come. But also the Tigers were dealing with some things on the other side of the ball that were just not quite working out. Speaking of, actually, the linebackers, that's something you talked about before we hopped on to record. Didn't look too hot. And that was a room that Hugh Freeze said that he thought he had some depth in.
Turns out he does not. keep it 100% with everybody. DeMario Tolan, we talked in, I think we had a few episodes about DeMario Tolan, just speaking about how high we were on him. And I think that him being as young as he is, and I don't know what they were coaching him down LSU, but it seems like he is back down to like level one linebacker, trying to level back up to being what Auburn fans thought he could be. And with I think Cam Riley was the starter with, I forgot who, was it Robert Woodyard?
I think
Robert Woodyard was the only linebacker I could probably find positives of, because he got tackles in the backfield. But looking at the entire linebacker corps as a whole, I mean, first team, second team, and third team did not look good. It looked rough. And when you look up positions that Auburn should be going for in the portal whenever it opens back up on Friday, linebacker is right up there, probably 1B with 1A being quarterbacks. And I think after that, it's just kind of you picking up depth for other positions. But linebacker, you were looking for a starting linebacker in the portal, as you were looking for a starting quarterback in the portal as well. At the linebackers, it was rough. They didn't get pressure. And I'm sure we got lucky. They got lucky that Auburn did not pass the ball, because the tight ends, Rivaldo Fairweather, would have torn up the linebacker core because they looked lost.
Yeah, that would have been a problem. And that's something to keep in mind as we move into the future here with this upcoming season. Just looking at all the other teams that Auburn's going to face off against and what they're doing in that tight end room. Because it's not about just what these linebackers are doing, stopping the run at the second level. I do believe Auburn's front seven is going to get better at that under Ron Roberts. But what does Auburn look like stopping some of these more physical pass catchers? Because this is probably a conversation we could have on another episode. We could talk for an hour about it. Schematically, what college football is shaping into, it's not necessarily evolving into something new. It's kind of reverting back to this kind of smash mouth, in your face, more physical style. And Georgia has been the lead dog, no pun intended, in kind of displaying what a dominant offense can look like with three or four tight ends involved with it. You got to play Georgia this year. You got to play A&M, who always has consistent, solid tight ends. You're going to have Alabama, who you have to face off against. LSU had, I think, two tight ends on roster last year that were freshmen that are going to end up being even better this year with a really experienced quarterback. I mean, Ole Miss is another team that you're going to have to be looking at as well. I mean, there's been consistency in the evolution, so to speak, over the past few years of teams focusing more on these hybrid types. And Auburn's linebackers are in a spot where right now, I think that you said it, there's not as much depth as expected. And so what Auburn does in the future at that spot in the portal is going to be very important. Jake Levant was the lead tackler in this game. Jake Levant with six tackles. Maybe that's part of it's. Maybe it's a Sean Jackson situation where it's like, look, he just got out there a lot and he was able to rack up stats. But I agree with you. They still didn't. The starting linebacker still didn't look that good. Eugene Asante had five tackles. DJ James was third with four. Austin Keys had three tackles along with Tony Hunley Jr. and Jeffrey Imba. But man, Riley, DeMario Toland didn't look that great. Powell Gordon looked all right in the little bit of time that he got as well. But you need to see something else from this unit, and maybe getting another linebacker there would certainly help the Tigers out. So the linebackers, bit of a problem. The offensive line, definitely a positive. The quarterbacks, a negative. The running backs, a positive. The final thing I want to get to here, Dylan, unless you've got something else you want to tackle, there is something I need to point out about these players that we did not get to see today or on Saturday. Rivaldo Fairweather did not have a catch. Tavarish Dawson had two targets and a catch. Landon King had three targets and only one catch. Nick Martner only had three targets and only one catch. Again, we've said it, the offense did not throw the ball around a lot. They just didn't. But you didn't see Coy Moore getting the action. You didn't see, you saw Jay Fair get what, one target. Javarius Johnson did not get in the mix. I don't know if he's hurt or not. Auburn didn't utilize the players that we expect them to utilize the most this fall. Jarquez Hunter got what, four carries? Yeah. And that was the least out of any running back. He had 27 yards, had 6.8 yards per carry. I think Auburn in this game, Hugh Freeze said it on Monday, intentionally held back from showing what they think they might be good at this upcoming year. And I think part of that had to do with just keeping it on the ground, controlling the pace of the game a little bit. We've seen this in spring games before. This is not a shock or a revolution. And then not utilizing the skill players that you think are going to be weapons in the upcoming seasons. I think Javarius Johnson and Coy Moore and Rivaldo Fairweather are going to be three mainstays of this offense. And maybe Nick Martyr is not as much of a potential threat as we think he is. He could be. We don't know what Landon King's going to do this year. We don't know if Tavarish Dawson is going to just disappear on this depth chart like he has for 3 years in a row now. And that's not a knock on him. That's just the reality of the situation. But I think that something that I took away from this, and I'm curious to see if you agree, is I don't think we should freak out about this. I don't think that we should overreact, because at the end of the day, Auburn's not trying to show you what they want to show you in the fall.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help that it was raining and the quarterbacks were not performing up to par. And you bring up Coy Moore. There's one play that ingrained in my memory from now on, watching that game. I saw a specific quarterback. I don't think I should name who, because if you've heard us talk about this quarterback room, you know who I'm talking about. I saw Coy Moore 12 yards down the field without a single defender within 20 yards of him. And I saw the specific quarterback make a terrible read and throw into triple coverage and get bailed out by pass interference. But Coy Moore was wide open waiting for that. But yeah, you bring up the players who we didn't get to see. I mean, Nick Marner had a couple of passes that he didn't come down with. One of them wasn't catchable in the slightest. Landon King had a couple of drops, but I don't know how much of this you can put up to being the rain. But yeah, we went to 8A knowing that we're not going to see what Auburn's good at. And what have we been hearing about a lot this spring? Tight ends, Nick Martiner, Coy Moore, Camden Brown have all been the mainstays of what has Auburn been good at this spring. And we didn't get to see them. Same thing with Jarquez Hunter. You know, he's the best running back. He's going to be a top three running back in the SEC as we stand right now. And he has plenty of room to go up. So you're not going to see that from the offense, and especially because you don't want anybody to get hurt. You don't want to overutilize somebody. And we saw that with the running back room. Brian Battee only really got most of his snaps from pass catching, and maybe they're wanting to implement him a little bit more in that. Halfback screens would be beautiful with Brian Battee. Damari Alston got in, showed what he can do for a little bit, and got out. Same thing with the wide receiver room. You're not going to see a lot for A-Day. They don't want anybody to get hurt. It's like, hey, here's a guy that we're proud of from this spring, and going to show him off just a tad bit and then get him out the field so he don't get hurt.
This is not a knock on the previous regime, because we are already did that at the beginning of the show. But you watch the overall product, Dylan, from this year's A-Day. Despite the rain, despite all everything, it looks like a more competent team in certain areas that Auburn was very bad in last year. Very bad in. I looked at last year's team, and I like to do this after every spring game, just kind of see how they operate and then just be like, that's a blank win team. That's a blank win team. Am I ever going to be right? No. I was right last year. I was like, that's a 5-win team. Got that one. But this year, I'm going to ask you as we head out, what does that team look like to you? And you don't have to think about this. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. We don't have to think about the schedule. Just looking at that product, what type of team, what type of win amount would you put on them?
I think it's a bowl eligible team, but I will go further beyond to say this is an 8-9 win team. And I know that's me knowing that Auburn's going to get it. It's going to be a new quarterback playing for Auburn, and it's going to be a few new positions coming in as well. I'm kind of on board with 9 wins. It's kind of where I see this team being. And that, I think that's an amazing season from the past 2 years. But yeah, 9 wins where I stand, and whether or not how the summer goes, it can go up or down from there.
I agree. I think that this is an 8 or a 9 win program, potentially 7 if there's just a game that just gets, you know, just slips away or is just something crazy happens. It's somewhere between 7 and 9, and it's a 9 win team if they get the quarterback that they need. That's it. And man, that sounds like that's been the theme for half a decade for Auburn football. If they get the quarterback that can do the things that they need them to do, this team could really, really make something special happen. 7, 8, 9 wins. I would be happy with all of that in Hugh Freeze's first season. If you can get to 7 and have a potential bowl to get to 8, 8 and 5, listen, we'll take that. I know that people will be very upset. The irrational ones will be like, somewhere between 7 and 8 wins, that'll be like, that's Gus Malzahn again. We got Gus Malzahn 2.0. But I think that having some patience with a coach that had experience in the SEC previously is going to be desperately needed for Auburn over these next couple of years, with Oklahoma and Texas coming in, with recruiting trying to get back on track. 8 wins would be great. 9 wins, like you said, would be incredible. So that's our thoughts on Auburn's A-Day. Really appreciate you guys watching. If you have not already subscribed to the YouTube channel, please go ahead and do so. If you're listening on podcast, please make sure to follow us there as well. You can follow both of us on Twitter. On top of that, at YaBoyTheTank for Dylan on Twitter, at LanceStahl_ on Twitter for me. We will see you all tomorrow for another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.